Welcome to the Ohana Life Podcast, where we try to bring to you people in the health and wellness fields to help you along your spiritual journey. In this episode, Stacey Lyons interviewed me. It was so fun and humbling, and I have to say I was extremely nervous because I didn't know what I was going to be asked, but it ended up being so fun and really filled me right up. My soul felt good after, I was joyful after, and it just really felt good to be able to explain to everyone why I do what I do and how I just can't imagine doing anything else. This is my path. This is my journey. I love it. I love being able to serve people and all of the knowledge that I have gained along my path. So Stacey was so kind to be able to offer to interview me this time. So that was great. So if you want to learn more about me, feel free to listen. Thank you all so much. Enjoy.
Hi, Stacey.
Hi, Lisa.
So I have you here today, or you have me here today, because we're going to switch roles. And I thought this would be so fun. So you had this idea that you would interview me, which is really fun because we've put out about 25 podcasts and you've been part of 4 of those, and this will be the 5th. And I think it would be just really fun for you to ask me whatever you want to ask and for me to kind of be in the hot seat. And I actually think this is good for me too, to feel the nerves of, I have no idea what's going to be asked or what we're going to talk about. You're smiling so much now because you know it's uncomfortable. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the being on your podcast, I know you and I've known you for quite a few years, and some people that you know have known you all your life. But I think that there are some people out there, you know, you do so much for the community. And I want people to really get a sense of who you were and about your studio more. And so I thought this would be a really good opportunity to get into what some of these topics of yoga are and the things that you bring in addition to yoga. So I'm really excited to be able to interview you because you've been such an intricate part of my life. And I know you play a big role in other people's lives in the community too.
Oh, thank you. All right. So here we are, people. This will be for you to learn more about me and what I do, if you don't already.
So Lisa, I would like to know kind of where was your beginning journey of yoga? Like, what's your driving force of yoga and what made you get into your yoga practices and wanting to open up your own studio?
Wow. So there's a lot to unpack there. Okay. So we'll start with, I had this year of many car accidents where they all just sort of happened one after the other, after the other. I want to say there was like 7 in 1 year. And it was people saying like, they didn't see me on the road or they didn't see my car. And I had a lot of issues after them. Actually, I had one in particular where that one, I actually slid on ice coming off a ramp in Massachusetts that was known for being super icy, and I had a pickup truck. And so I slammed the guardrail and my head actually hit the window quite hard. And now knowing what I know, I could have been really severely injured or had massive brain damage. So I definitely did have some neurological stuff. I had some twitches in my neck and I definitely had started to stutter. And I was working in the corporate world at the time. So it went from me having these power-ish roles to being very embarrassed, not remembering what I was going to say and what I was going to do. But, and I had done physical therapy and all the natural routes that a doctor would take you through to try and get out of pain. And I didn't understand what to do. I mean, I just wasn't in the physical realm at all. I was always interested in fitness in that I loved like Arnold Schwarzenegger's bodies. I loved the bodies of people in the Olympics. And I just didn't understand how these feats could be done. So I was so fascinated with that, but I never really knew what to do. So fast forward to these accidents, I had seen on TV some yoga. And I don't know if people knew yoga was on TV back then, but it was, it was with this gentleman, Steve Ross, and he was out of California, and it was really trendy. You know, loud music was playing and people were moving and they were doing all these crazy bendy things. And I just said, well, let me try one. I don't know why, what made me do it, but I just did one. And, you know, in a downward facing dog, I just felt all the blood rushing to my head and it was pounding. And I felt like I had no flexibility or movement in my shoulders at all. It just felt all so tight and constricted. And it was really painful, actually. And I still remember it to this day because, you know, I think that having a beginner mindset is really good when you're teaching because you always want to know what they are going through when they first start and their journey. Because it wasn't a super easy journey for me to just like pick it up and go with it. So I had started doing that for maybe a year. And like, no matter where we went, I would find him on TV. So we had visited my parents in New Mexico and he was on TV there at like 3 a.m. because of the time difference. And so I like got up and I practiced it and I was really diligent about that. And then the whole thing with Jacob happened where he got sick. So I had kids and I still wasn't doing great. I was getting better, but it wasn't like 100%. And I had a really stressful job at the time. So I had two kids and I was going to Boston. I changed that job up fairly quickly to something a little bit more local, but the 2-hour commute each way. It was all day. It was consuming so much of me. And I felt like it was just not soul like filling, but I didn't really know that at the time either. I just was like, you're supposed to get married, have a good job, have kids, and that's your life. And then Jacob got sick and he was pretty ill, where the first thing they had told us when they finally figured out what it might be was that I was going to have to quit my job. And my first reaction was like, I can't quit my job. Like I'm making a lot of money and this is really good for the family. And, but that wasn't, I wasn't really proud of that being my first thought. So, it was that they wanted me to quit my job because depending on what was going on with Jacob, I was going to have to help him care for him for the rest of his life. He is fine now. Everything ended up being totally fine. And, he's great. But it took me on another journey of trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. So while I was still doing the corporate work, I got certified in yoga. It was an online certification that I did. It took a while. I know there's a lot of online stuff now, but at the time, about 19 years ago, there wasn't. So you had to kind of mail in photos of doing things. And write everything out. So I got that certification first, and then I got personal trainer certified, and then I got certified in Reiki. So all that was great, but I still was trying to figure out what I would do to not be in the corporate world because I knew that I wanted a job that was more fulfilling and more just helpful to the world. And that's where the yoga came in. So then I did quit my job to the chagrin of poor Steve. We moved to Florida for his job, actually. And that's where I really took a turn to wanting to get a better certification, where I found my teacher, Virginia Williamson. I love her. Out of all the certifications that you could have gotten in Florida, which is huge, I found her, which was a nice local. It just popped up first in Google. And I was so glad. That was definitely divine intervention because she was perfect for me. Because then I was pregnant with Travis, my last one. And I did the whole, I wanted to start a business. I just knew I had to have a yoga studio. And so Steve, of course, thought I was crazy because we moved down there for his job. And here I am, like we're newly moved down there and I'm pregnant with a child. We have two, they were young. They were 3 and 4 years old while I was pregnant with Trav. And here I am wanting to start a business. So I did start down there. It was a very, very small space. I was working at the wellness center associated with the hospital at the time, the Cape Coral Hospital. And that was a really cool program, actually. So I was able to start that. That yoga had kind of dwindled out and they had me start there again. Start up the program. So I started that up and got that running and it was so fun. Like I could do whatever I wanted in there with the yoga and that was beautiful. So I wanted to teach more. So then I tried to get this studio that was I think it was 362 square feet. It was extremely small, but it was something that I could afford and try to start on my own with no help. And I think we could only fit four people in there. And the clients were so amazing because they came just to support me and said, "Is there a bathroom in here?" And they would have come whether there was a bathroom or not. And we did have a bathroom, thank God. But anyway, quickly we upgraded to almost 1,000 square foot space that was right in the same plaza. And it was beautiful. Outside of the plaza had this gorgeous tree that was more New England-ish type tree. And that's how I knew it was right. And so I had a little bench under the tree and, you know, tried to do a lot of stuff that incorporated like nature and being inside. And then Steve was asked to come back to New Hampshire. And I had just signed a lease on the studio for another year. My landlord there was awesome. So we had found somebody else actually that took over the lease for that year and took over the studio and bought it from me. Obviously it wasn't very much. I had had it for, you know, that year and a half, almost 2 years. And that brought me to here. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to have my yoga. You know, I don't know if Steve will go for it. And he did. We rented this place in Hopkinton. That's how we got to Hopkinton. And it was this huge farmhouse, 5,500 square feet. And the master bedroom itself was almost 700 square feet. So he said, "Why don't you do the yoga here?" So I was so happy to get his approval because I know it was very stressful when we were down in Florida to have, you know, young babies and have me working as well. So we did. And that's what kind of started me working here in town for, I guess it's been 11 years now. And over that time, you know, I moved to one place and then we have the current place that we're in now. And it was yoga with Lisa. And then once we started getting other teachers, I called it Ohana. So that's sort of my journey. And the spirituality piece of the yoga really happened in Florida. Like that's when it really started to hit me because the plaza I was in had a metaphysical shop. And in that shop was where there were just readers from all over the country and sometimes the world that would come in. And that's where I started that journey of trying to understand more of like natural health and healing.
Wow. So
that was a really long-winded.
No, and I think it's so great for people to have a deeper understanding of where you got started. And one of the things, I mean, I know you, I love you, I know your studio, and I have the privilege of like energetically tapping into it and tapping into you. But one of the things I absolutely love about you, which I don't think that other yoga teachers do, is that you really take a mind, body, soul approach to not only your practices and your teaching, but your overall, what you call your family. Ohana mm-hmm. means family. And so you really incorporate this whole concept of the mind, body, soul wellness and the well-being of that. And so I'd like you to kind of explain your approach to your classes and your studio and how you really integrate this mind, body, soul presence, because I've taken a couple of yoga classes with you. I live in a different state, but I've had the privilege of also teaching at your studio. So I've witnessed different things. And I think I first met you by going to a singing bowl concert at your yoga studio. So you offer a lot of things to the community, but I'd like you to discuss some of this mind, body, soul approach that you take at your studio.
So, I mean, I think I learned pretty early on because of the accidents and the lack of help with Western medicine, because it can only go so far, right? Like they only know what they know. And so I had to seek out different things. And I just feel so fortunate that I had the time to be able to do that and the fortitude to do that. And sometimes people are in so much pain, they can't even get out of their own way. But I think because of having young children, you just don't want to feel like that. So I guess I was searching for other modalities. And that's where that metaphysical shop came into play, because, you know, they did crystal bowls and they did chanting and they just did other energy type work, and setting the stage of like crystals and, the atmosphere when you first walk in. And I knew that yoga was just more than, or I wanted my yoga to be more than just the physical postures. Although we all start out that way, right? Because it helped me out of physical pain. But again, I was lucky with my teacher too, because she was just phenomenal. I mean, I was so shy. When I was taking her teacher training, which was a 2-year training, she would hug me and I would just stand there with my arms by my sides and let her hug me. Like I didn't know what I was supposed to do in return. And I think when you start opening yourself up to the pathways of mind, body, spirit, you just become more loving. Like you just want to hug people. And that was something that she taught me, plus experiencing the other things slowly over time that have really opened up to me. So I knew for me, opening the studio in Florida was, and here was more because my children were young and I couldn't travel from place to place to place, like to carry, you know, I mean, now music is on your phone. I feel so old, but you know, we had the CD player and then the music that you wanted to play and candles if you wanted, and to carry all that stuff was just a lot with young children. So I didn't think that I knew enough to have a studio, but I knew I had enough passion and soul to like want to give to people. And I knew the best way that I could give to people was to have my own space and to let the energy of our practices just grow. And so to be able to keep that in one place for me and keep my energy in one place was really key. And yes, the kids were part of all of that. They were part of, they would take the bolsters and, you know, build bridges and everything with them. The blocks were always all over the place, but that was something that, you know, they were raised with. Do they love it now? No, they have bad memories of being in there, but I think they truly did have fun at the time, even though it was some work. But that was where the family came in. Like this was, all of us had to be part of it if it was going to be successful, and successful in a way that I was able to share what had helped me. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is I didn't want to just go and mimic something that I saw. I wanted to be able to teach people the things that got me out of pain, that got me to be more loving, that got me to be more understanding. And it was definitely a journey.
That's wonderful.
So Ohana, I wanted to be informal, loving, and feel like family when you walked in the door. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's great. And one of the things I'm interviewing you as somebody who does not do yoga. So I think that it's wonderful. I know of yoga. I know the practices, and I know you in your studio. And I think that one of the, at least from what I've witnessed from you, is that you really have, some people may view yoga as something that you physically do, mm-hmm. right? Because we're physically moving our body. But one of the things that I've witnessed from you, from your teachers at the studio, is that there is this element where it's not just about the body. Because I think what people, like, are there people who just go for yoga and to gain flexibility or better posture? Yes. But I think that maybe what people may misunderstand is that there's also an element here where you can work through emotional traumas that you've been through, where you can work through things like depression or anxiety and help get you out of your head and really into your heart. I know that that sounds super cheesy, but all of that can be a benefit of doing yoga. Mm-hmm. And not only do you offer, I guess, traditional yoga, I'm sure that's not the proper way to say it, but you offer other classes in addition to that. Can you explain some of the other classes that you offer at your studio that makes it different from other studios?
I think all of my classes are quite different, only in that I take an approach that we're never done learning. And I'm constantly taking courses. like right now, I'm taking 3 different courses that are all completely different, but I find that they all are kind of helping with the missing pieces. So I do think that a lot of people do come to yoga for the physical. because that's what they want to do. And you do feel better when you start doing the physical postures if you've never done them before. But that's why the body is so profound, because when you start doing anything, it's a little hard at first, and then it gets so much easier that you want to do it all the time. And I've learned that, but then you have to switch up things even more. Like, it can't always be the same exact thing all the time, which is how some yoga methods are. So what I try to do is really incorporate the best approach to the methods that are ancient to our times, because we're sitting more than ever. We're not outside as much as we are. The stressors are higher, right? So there's like so many different variables that weren't there when they created these methods way back when. So each of my classes are completely different. You know, some we work on just isolations and strength. Some we work on just flow the body, move. Some are just play, where I just give you some parameters, like pick one leg up off the floor and now move your head in all different directions and see if you can balance, you know, or move your eyes in all the different directions and keep your head still. So there's parameters, and then work within that and see how you do. Now, some might say that's not yoga, but what is yogic about it is that it's mindful. So I love mindful movement. And because of the stressors that we have in our lives, I like to approach the physical body first, because it's a gross, dense thing that is heavy, and we can feel it and we can see it. And if we can get at the body, then we can definitely get at the mind and balancing that. And then people say stuff like, I don't chant, but that om you did at the end, I really liked the sound of that. And I think next time I want to participate in that. So that's when the spiritual part starts to unveil. It doesn't feel like spiritual, which is what I want initially, because I think that spirituality can be scary. And it's not always something that someone wants to jump into. Now, I do have people who want to come and just meditate, but usually because their doctor said they wanted them to meditate, or they have high stressors. But if they have high stress, it's usually because the physical body doesn't feel safe. And if I can't get them into a safe place, there's no sense closing your eyes and trying to sit there. And meditation can come in many forms. It can be eyes open, and like that balance that I had said, where you're staying present. Like that's part of concentration that will eventually work into meditation. So yeah, that's kind of the approach that I take. And the classes are all quite different. I teach every day, right? Currently from Monday to Sunday. So I try to have a different class each day that will really get at different things, so that if you're taking it quite often, there's going to be these variables that are, you're going to improve on things tremendously and not understand why. Meaning you could have a hobby like playing tennis. And if you're doing the things that we're doing in class, mind, body, spirit, then tennis is just going to get easier, even though we're not like going into just a hit of the ball or the swing of the arm. We're getting into all the other stuff that's going to just make what you already know better. It's kind of the bridge.
That's wonderful. And, you know, in the times that we are now, you have integrated a virtual platform. Mm-hmm. So people can come and take classes online. And I would venture to say that some people may ask you, well, they might feel they won't get the same benefit as mm-hmm. coming to the studio versus online. But do you feel that the benefit is the same?
I feel like this. You're never going to get as good as in person, because I do really well at like reading the body and seeing people move. However, if you've never done any yoga, or if you need guidance, or if you maybe have a practice already and you want something that's different and feeding the body different information, like, I think that the online platform is good for that. It's like, get started, get some movement in every day, try it. And then I have calls each month where then if you have questions on like, I don't even understand what we saw or why you did this or why you keep saying that, then I can really delve into like the whys. In terms of me really wanting to, I think I'm different in a way too, that I really like to work with people on a long-term basis. I know that some teachers love like just the quick 1 hour, and then they may see them, they may not even know the person's name. I really like to get to know the person inside and out, and all the variabilities that would have them progress slowly over long periods of time, and really have it be like a healthcare plan, is how I look at it as. And that's what I think having an online membership does. It gives them some feedback every single day. And then I think in person to like be evaluated, be assessed, looked at, kind of look at the intricacies, because sometimes you do develop some bad habits online if no one's looking at you. I mean, I've been lucky that my Zoom hasn't been, you know, hundreds of people. I've maybe had 7 or 8, so I can really keep an eye on what people are doing, but I still don't have 100% handle on every move and everything that they're doing. Cause I can be pretty strict in class where I'm looking around, and trying to get everyone to their level of being tested. You know, we got to go a little to the edge if we want change. And so for everybody, that's different. So, yeah. I think it has its benefits, and I think, you know, it has its drawbacks as well, but definitely a benefit to get something in every day.
So when you are talking about your Zoom classes, so you do Zoom classes for scheduled class time in addition to people coming in person and then also people online?
Yeah. So for me, every single class that I offer is in person and through Zoom.
Got it. And when you have, so you also have memberships at Ohana. Mm-hmm. So if somebody buys, do you have it set up where your online platform, people can purchase something, and there's also videos loaded in there where they can do yoga at 3 a.m. if they wanted to? Yeah. Like, do you have that kind of platform set up for them?
I think you and I are the only ones that would do yoga at 3 a.m. I have it set up where, so we have a good number of yearly pass holders, which I'm just so grateful for, because they really drove me through COVID to keep them going, because they do want to come almost every day. So my goal was that we met every day and in person and through Zoom, but I recorded everything. So then everything was on this, yes, membership platform, where if there was a day, like, you know, if somebody got sick or I had to not have anybody in the studio, or it was a snow day, something happened, they had classes that were available to them right then and there that they could pick and choose from. So I'm really happy with how the membership came out. I don't think our quality of video is like the best that's out there. I mean, it's through Zoom, but I do use a lot of wording. I try to explain things extremely well in detail, so it's as easy to follow as possible. So that's what I do think I have going for me. But to have been recording since March and have 200 classes that are all completely different, like there's none that are exactly the same. There are some movements that may be similar, but we can get at it different ways. And that's what I'm proud of, is when I had to go and label each class, I thought, oh my goodness, this is a lot of really good work that we have like now recorded. That's amazing, because I remember doing classes way back when going, oh, that was such a cool class. And I try and write it all down, but I would never remember it to go back to it. So now you can actually see it. And that to me is one of the cool things that has come out of COVID, is even for my legacy, for my kids, if they ever go back, they can see that, you know, we had all these amazing classes, that the information is quality at the time with current research.
That's amazing. And I love, for those of you who may not be aware too, Lisa is on Instagram, and she also does amazing yoga videos on Instagram periodically that people should check out. I don't know if you want to give out your handle on Instagram or not, Lisa.
I can. It's Ohana Yogi. I know I should do more videos, recorded videos on there. I just don't think anyone wants to see them. And then when people do, they're like trying it out. It's super fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And your dog is usually in them too sometimes.
Baxter is in it all the time. And now Clucky, now our blind chicken, is in there quite a bit.
So if one of your listeners right now, like let's say they have an issue with either their back or their legs, where it's a certain part of their body where maybe they don't necessarily feel comfortable going to a yoga class. I'll use myself as an example. When I was going through some health stuff and I was having lower leg issues because of some vascular stuff I was experiencing. I felt out of place trying to go to a yoga class because I couldn't move my legs that well. And I was like, I don't want to slow people down. I can't do what they're doing. So, but do you offer, I know you offer private instruction too, but if you are having an in-person class, can someone come up to you in advance and say, hey, Lisa, listen, like, here's some of the things that I've got going on. And do you offer a modification for some movements if you think it may be too hard for some people?
Yeah. I mean, I think that being accessible is 100% where we need to be. So usually people will call me ahead of time and tell me what's going on before they even try the class, because they're not even sure they should even walk through that door. So I try to really explain quite a bit through the phone or email. And it's hard because I have so much knowledge up here in my brain, and you don't want to overwhelm people with too much at once. So I do just try to reassure them. What I have learned is that I have to continue learning. So if I want to feel comfortable with anybody walking in my class and making it accessible, I need to be up on my knowledge and research and the experience of having seen people in classes for 19 years. You know, not everybody's body is different. I mean, not everybody's body is the same. So because they're so different, you see how they respond. So I can really tell when someone walks in the door, like how they're moving, their attitude, their demeanor. I can really tell a lot from the body just with that, without them having to tell me anything. And I'm going to work from there usually, because pain is so complex and uncomfortableness and the sensations we feel in the body can be tricky. They can, definitely not be trusted all the time. I have to work in the body to maybe calm the nervous system down first and work in safe ways. Like, we again go to the boundary or border of something that's uncomfortable. Did you die? No, let's continue on. And I, you know, that seems mean, but it's something in their head. It's actually the survival mechanism in their brain that says, no, I'm okay. I didn't get hurt. I'm fine. And then it allows a little bit more tenderness in the body to accept more movement. So yeah. And then in terms of modifications, I don't really call it modifications anymore. I call it progressions and regressions. So you can take any movement and regress it or progress it. So a lot of times I start with the regression, you know, the simplest version of something where we're moving, and then we'll just keep adding to it. And so the person can either add or not add at that point. So that's why I like to make the classes pretty informal, in that we work hard. Don't get me wrong. It's not easy when you're trying to instill change in the body and the mind. It's not cakewalk, but when we do it all together, when we're working hard and when we see change, that's when the rewards are just so immense and transformative. I don't know if I answered the question or not.
You did. And you did it in such a great way. I think one of the things that people may not understand about you is the amount of time and effort you put into the studio, into your practices, into your learning of what you have to offer people, and what you bring to them for knowledge, and then to the community, because you do a lot of community things as well. And, you know, prior to COVID, you would have open houses and events and offer local artisans to come in and display things. And I know you would have me there as a healer and have an additional treatment room. Where my question to you is, Lisa, at this particular point, where do you foresee yoga going in the future? Like, where do you think it's heading with this new direction in this new world?
So that's actually a really, really good question. I'm not sure I know where yoga is going to go from here. I do think that in terms of like hands-on adjustments, I was never super excited about those in the first place. I guess the hands-on adjustment piece to me always felt like people would give an adjustment and it was like the same adjustment for the same person. And that was like kind of the methodology of that method that they were doing. When I would come over to people, it would always be something like I would put a finger, or I would kind of rotate a joint or kind of bring attention to an area. I definitely think that that is not going to be the case for a long time. So I think that, and actually Steve and I were just talking about this morning, how communication has to be key right now to get somebody to do a class safely on Zoom and to not be able to walk around. You really need to have words and be able to say things in different ways for the same thing, because someone may not understand it and you can't always go over and say anything. So I think that that's definitely changing. I think the comforts of warm blankets, you know, we always had these warm blankets and just tons and tons of props for people to just, you know, a block if they needed it, or a bolster for under their knees or behind their back. Those are definitely, I don't think, going to come back into the picture for a little bit, probably not until maybe June of 2021. In terms of instruction, I mean, I definitely think that because 2020 was this whole resetting of the planet, the physical piece of yoga wasn't as needed, or the physical of anything wasn't as needed. People needed to really tune into themselves and not push into the things that they were blindly doing to kind of escape the world. So for some people, it's drugs. For some people, it's alcohol. For some people, it's sex. And for some people, it's exercise. They exercise away their life to kind of get out of their heads. And yes, there are some times when you have to do that so that you can clear your mind. I get those people that have to just get up and they have to run and just kind of get out of that. But I also think there's a piece of, we didn't need to physically abuse the body through this year. And I do think that that's going to go on a little bit into the new year. So we've been focusing a ton on breathing, on chanting, on moving. Yes. But like in ways that are so mindful and joyful that, you are getting some variability for the brain to get that food, to really stay alert for the rest of the year and what's going on. And, that's where I think my yoga is going to be going. I'm not sure about everybody else and what they're going to do. I mean, some may just continue doing what they're doing. I know a lot of people just want things to go back to exactly the way they were. I don't see things doing that, but I definitely see the community aspect of what yoga provides, that soul enriching, like, nurturing piece of being with people who are like-minded. I do think that's going to continue for quite a while. And in terms of the studio being a lot of work, I mean, it is definitely, I love it. I don't feel like it's work. It was a lot of effort March through June of like really trying to get out information that was going to help as many people as possible through these rougher times, especially when there was so many unknowns. I almost make it look like it's not work. Although every moment of every day when I have an extra moment, I am doing work. I'm either learning something new or talking to somebody about yoga or helping somebody through something. You know, there's a lot behind the scenes that people just don't know. I could be working with 5 to 6 people at one time of trying to figure out an issue or problem or suggestions or moving them to, you know, a referral somewhere else. That stuff is constant with a business. And I think the biggest piece right now is just the financial, you know, that a lot of people are struggling financially and, figuring out ways to, be creative with business to keep the doors open is really key. So it's not really as much of the yoga as much as the business mind, you know, it's all the hats, right? So there's this business hat, the yoga hat, and then kind of the personal mentor aspect. Mm.
Do you want to touch a little bit on some of the new exciting things that you've added to the Yohana platform?
Oh my goodness, I do. let's see. So I'll just tell you everything that we do because I think it all flows into one another. So we have our daily classes. We have are, you know, they're on Zoom and they're regular. Then now we have the membership. So people can pay per month and access those 200 classes with about 30 being added every month. And we have guest teachers now. So now we're having these people who are like, I want to put a class in there, which is really, really fun. Then we have the teacher training. So I actually call it the yoga training because it goes about a year and it's just trying to help people understand yoga better. So we do that over a 10-month period, although it feels like it takes the whole year. And then we have now calendars that are on sale. So we did our first Ohana calendar, which was really fun because I think that when you're in the studio all the time, and a reason why I recorded all of the classes from the studio is that I wanted to bring the studio into people's homes so that, you know, if the house wasn't feeling soothing and it was chaotic, that you could maybe get that feeling from the studio. So I did that with the calendar. Cynthia took some photos. They're beautiful. So, so gorgeous. And so each month there's something that it's a zoomed in photo of what's in there. So people may not know where they are, but it might be fun to try and find it. And now we have merchandise. So we have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cardigans. I think even the printer had a coffee cup or like a tea mug and a frame. So it's really cool to have our name out there because I know that, you know, Ohana, because I've moved so many times, you know, is out and about in so many states, and to have people bring that into their home is just so special to me. I'm just so honored to have gear that says Ohana. And of course, my best friend Julie has already purchased something to wear in her town. So I'm really excited. And then in the future, I guess for 2021, what I foresee is having more. So we did a lot of master classes during COVID, where I was trying to teach people like maybe the big highlights of what meditation would include, the big highlights of what a movement practice would include, the highlights of what a breath practice would be. And so people could have a lot that they could do at home. I don't think people are rushing to leave their homes. And that's a good thing if they're not feeling safe. And so I wanted to give them as much to do at home as possible, hence the membership and these masterclasses. So I think I might do more of these. Maybe people that have practiced yoga for a long time and want to learn more about these newer aspects of like variability and pain science and the vagus nerve, the nervous system, like we can delve into that stuff more and do like a more of an integrated anatomy type thing that might be maybe only, you know, 6 weeks long versus a year. And then I also think in January, I want to do 30 days to a good habit. So for people that really feel lost and want to get started and have something going on in their house, do a kind of a 30-day program. So yeah, I think we have a lot that I'm looking forward to in 2021. It just takes time and getting it together. Yeah.
And I did take a look at your merchandise. I love it. I particularly love the Ganesh shirt.
The Ganesh, so cute. I know.
And then I love the blue zip hoodie.
The blue what?
The blue hoodie. Zip hoodie.
Yeah. So I will say that has been ordered 3 times. That's our first 3 orders, and those were them. And I thought, okay, people really like that. I also am going to get that same hoodie. but what's really cool is the Ganesh can be, you know, it can be the Ganesh or the Om symbol. Mm-hmm. I love the colors. We, a long time ago, this woman, Annie, did our logo. She built out the logo that's like the rainbow colors, but like my favorite colors, like the greens, the blues, the purples. And so that's really stuck where Ganesh, the outline of Ganesh are those colors. So yeah, I'm going to really rock those tanks and shirts. Yeah.
And do you want to tell people about your beautiful Ganesh at your studio that's located there? Or?
Oh, yes. What a good idea. Okay. So you actually had told me that we were going to need a bigger Ganesh at the studio. So this was, maybe last October or November. So I've had a Ganesh. Well, do you remember the time frame?
I think it was right around November or December.
Yeah. So I had a Ganesh at the studio. It was a little brass one, probably maybe 2 inches, 3 inches tall. And of course, you know, I do my prayers and everything every day at the studio to really set the stage for people entering. So that's really important to me to make sure that I do my work so that I don't pass along anything that's going in my life to others. So you had said that when you were checking in with the studio, because you were checking in weekly and said energetically, I needed a bigger Ganesh. And I think you had said I needed 3 feet tall or 4 feet tall, something like that. I think it was 4 feet. And I looked at them and they were like $4,000. And I contacted this gentleman, Naveen, that I know that has contacts in India. And I said, well, maybe India will be cheaper. Everything's way cheaper in India. And he said, 4 feet. He said, could you ask her to ask Spirit if we could do 2 feet? Because he said 4 feet is going to be like literally an elephant in the room energetically, where people aren't even going to be able to fit. So you did. You went back to Spirit and asked, and they said, sure, 2 feet's fine. So then I searched for the perfect one. And I think one of the most important parts of it, and we did have some donors, which was so kind, because they are definitely not cheap for the studio. So I had some money, and then some people had donated, which is what's beautiful about our community, is that they are always willing to give when necessary. So one of the parts that you had said was he had to have this, I think it's called Abhyanga or Abhikesh ceremony, where he had to be bathed. Which was a pretty big process. So basically any of the energies of the people who made him, the transport, the people who touched him to get here, had to be kind of washed off and cleared to ground zero. So we had this really big ceremony for him and then installed him in the studio. And my job every day is to do specific practices with him every day. So I think that ceremony, so we got him in January, maybe the end of December, January. And so every day, even through COVID, I go to the studio and I do those practices with him, because you had said that the energies of 2020 were going to need a bigger grounding force. That is why we needed Ganesh. So that's why he needed to be so big, was to be able to help people ground. And so here we are, we're at the end of 2020, what a ride it's been.
Yes. And for those listening who may not know, but Ganesh is the remover of obstacles, but he also brings the fulfillment of wishes for people too. Mm. So I think that that's really beautiful. I wanted to ask you one other question, Lisa.
Okay.
You've traveled for yoga. You've taught other places. You've participated in many things pretty much around the world. Up until this point in your life, and not only do you teach yoga, but you do the teacher training, you do prenatal yoga, you've done doulas and welcomed babies into the world with women that you've done prenatal yoga with. I mean, what a blessing. What do you feel at this point has been your best experience through yoga?
I mean, all of it got me to this point. Right. So every experience, every opportunity, every failure, every turn is only going to bring you to where you are today. And so I decided that I was going to either let it take me down, or I was going to let it build me up and give me lessons. So I feel very proud of where I am today. I feel like I have a lot of knowledge base that I did not have in my naive years. I definitely feel like I can help people, and I want to serve as much as I can to others, because I think that I'm in a position where I want to give that knowledge to others. And there's that give and take exchange financially too. Like, I think that I'm at a place too where people want to pay for that knowledge. I think when you first start and you learn everything, you just can't wait to tell everybody everything. because you want to kind of get that validation that you know enough. But I know for me, I feel very satiated in what I know and how I can help people. And it's up to them to want to come to me. So what do I feel like is the best part? I mean, I've loved the whole journey, even though it has not been easy or fun. And it's definitely been chaotic, and it's definitely been a hard journey. But I don't think that if something came to you easy, you wouldn't respect it as much. So I definitely respect every aspect of what has been given to me and handed to me. And I do feel like I'm at the best part of one of the best parts of my life, and I'm excited for it to just keep getting better. You know, my kids are older, so I feel like there's a little weight lifted.
goodness. We talked in the last episode that Jacob is boating this year.
Boating. Oh my God.
Alexander is driving.
Yes.
They grow up so fast. Mm-hmm. Was there anything that you, and you have so much information, I feel like I could just ask you a ton of more questions. Was there anything that you wanted to tell to your listeners right now that you feel is important for them to know about you, about yoga or your studio?
I guess the one thing that I want to get out, if I could get out any information to anyone, whether they do yoga or not, is that the body and the mind. So because the body and mind are connected, right? If you do the same thing over and over and over, you're creating ruts in your mind of only having the same way of thinking. So if you could do anything in life, do different things. So the people that run all the time or cycle all the time or do that same thing over and over and over and over and over, for exercise, I just don't think it's going to serve in this new time. Because our brains need to be more variable in what's coming. And so the bodies have to be more adaptable, for what's coming. And when the body feels safe and it's doing different things and it's seeing different things, I think that the mind is going to handle things much better. So if I could give any advice, that's my main thing, is to like practice different things, move different ways, be open to different things, because your brain is going to benefit. It's feeding it that great nourishment. I think they say motion is lotion. So any motion, but just not the same thing all the time. And for the people who don't move at all, you know, just trying to get up and do something, you know, so don't be too excessive and don't be too lethargic is my advice.
That is great advice.
I don't know if that helps or not.
It's great advice. It is. Lisa, oh my goodness. I've known you for years and I feel like I know so much more about you.
This was so fun. I have to say that it is weird being interviewed, but I feel like now I know why everyone can just talk, because... Well, when you're telling your story, like I have 46 years of stories. So it was really nice to just get that out. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was lovely to know, you know, more about you. I know I'm familiar with the studio because I've been there. I've done the energy work there and I know you, but it's been really wonderful to really get to know you on a deeper way.
Aww.
With this. So, and I just want to say on behalf of not only your listeners and, contributor of somebody who's been on your show, I just want to thank you for doing the work that you do, because you really, there are some people that don't maybe realize the expansion of their footprint, so to speak, and the vibrations that you put out and the good you put out in the world and what you bring to an individual and the community is far reaching. So I just wanted to say thank you for that, because
I'm gonna cry.
Well, it's true, and I'm not just saying that because I love you.
I love you too. Thank you, Stacy.
But and thank you for having me interview today.
That was so fun. You're definitely our guest contributor. So we'll have to happen more.
anytime.
Well, if you made it this far, I thank you. That was a lot about me. I'm not used to that, but I do hope that there was something in there that really sparked your interest and was able to help you in some way. If you're ever needing to get in touch, feel free to visit the website, ohanayoganh.com. And again, a big, huge thanks to Stacy for taking time out to interview me. That was really great to be in the hot seat. So I love you all very, very much, and I hope you have the best day ever. Bye.